If you don't have a song, I got a verse, okay? Open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 6. It's amazing sometimes how God works things out. Brother Junior was talking about this morning when he read before Sunday school time. Talking about time, some issues of time. Brother Rick got up and taught Sunday school from the book of Luke, and he taught on the same exact passage that I'm dealing with in Matthew chapter 6. And so, if you miss Sunday school, I'll get to fill you in on a little bit of it. But Matthew chapter 6. I want to preach this morning upon a principle taught in the Bible. It would be a principle for all of us to hang on to. Now, you need to remember, and I remind you a lot of times, there's three things that you've got to be able to separate. There are precepts. Precepts are commandments of God. Thou shalt not. That's a precept. Some people say, well, what does it mean? Well, God's pretty clear in his precepts. He says, you do it, you don't do it. And so he makes that pretty clear. Then he takes certain things in the Bible, and he teaches principles. A principle is something that if you will abide by that, God will do something because you abide by that principle. Those principles are good principles to have in your life. It tells you the best way to go about doing things. The best way to, somebody said, well, how do I raise my children? Look at the principles laid out in the Bible. Well, how do I conduct a business? Look at the principles laid out in the Bible. How do I be a good neighbor? The principles in the Bible. And on and on and on and on we could go. Then there are preferences. Now this is where some people get messed up. Some people have preferences, and because they think it ought to be one way, they try to make it a precept for everybody else to abide by. Don't turn your preferences into precepts. They're not. In other words, there's some things I prefer that you may not prefer at all. So be very careful when you get too dogmatic on your preferences. But principles definitely need to abide by. And by the way, let me say this. A lot of people have preferences that they don't have scripture to back it up. Need to be careful when you start putting preferences in. Somebody told me the other day, so well, I think this. I said, well, really it doesn't matter a whole lot what you think other than you. Because your thoughts, I may be think something just the opposite. But if you don't have any scripture back it up, then your thoughts are no more important than my thoughts. Now, if you want to abide by that, that's fine. You got to answer for that. So just remember. And so this morning, I want to preach upon the principle of first priorities. The principle of first priorities. Now, the word priority comes from the root word prior. Prior means that which comes before. In other words, it teaches us that we ought to put something before other things. So if you have a priority, what do you put first? What's first in your life? What is most important in your life? Now, we know that God teaches that thou shalt, they asked Jesus one time, what's the greatest commandment? He said that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might. What's the first commandment up here? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Let me let you in on a secret if you haven't figured out. God wants first place. He says even before husband and wife, before children, before anything, even yourselves. God wants first place. Now, an idol is just the opposite of that. An idol is putting something in front of God. So if you've got something that you love more than God, then that's what an idol is. You're putting something in front of God. It can be a person, it can be a thing, it can be an occupation, it can be anything. Let's begin reading, if you would, in verse number 24. No man can serve two masters, For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now you see that verse right there? That's where we're going to park at today. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now let me say this. Someone said this, and I don't remember who, but I remember I jot it down. You cannot always have, or you don't always need everything you want. You do not always want everything you need. God does not give you everything you want. But if you will abide by this principle, God will give you everything you need. Right. One thing that you'll understand when you get close to missionaries is how that God so provides. As I was talking about the auction and needing to raise a certain amount of money, we had never raised over close to $8,000 is the most we'd ever raised in our life in all the years of auction. This year we need a little more, and it's amazing how people just came up and gave. One lady just come and want to give $1,000. Has no association with the church or school or anything. It's just amazing how God just moves in people's hearts. The Bible teaches this principle of first priority all through it. The other day I preached upon it. Remember Elijah and the widow? How she was going to give the last meal that she had and bake a cake for her and her son and die? And Elijah come along, the man of God, and asked her to make him a cake first. She gave to the man of God first, and what happened? God provided meal and oil in her barrel the rest of her life until the drought was over with. Also, you find in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, honor God with your substance. Now, notice that word honor. In other words, he teaches of principle of first priorities. That's what the tithe is all about. Tithing in the Bible is the principle of first priority. That's what the first fruits were about in the harvest, was the priority of first, or having your first priority. Also, we find in the book of Haggai, we find the principle taught again, where everybody was building their houses and making, fixing their houses up, and the house of God was sitting there undone. And God told them to fix the house of God and their houses would be okay. That's what Solomon said one time in Song of Solomon. He said, they made me keeper of many vineyards, but my own vineyard I kept not. Sometimes what we did was lose thought, and God said, listen, you fix my house and I'll make sure your houses are okay. The principle is taught here as well. And Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things that you need in life will be given to you. Now look back, if you would, just a moment. He answers five questions in verse 25. He answers the question of what purpose do we have in life? All of our purpose, what do you work most of the week for to accomplish in this life. Food, clothing, shelter, right? I mean, how much of your money is spent on your house payment? How much do you spend on clothes? How much you spend on food? So purpose in this life, the main purpose that we all have is to provide those things. Now, I'll say this, and I said it earlier, God's been awful good to us. We have a lot more than we ever need. But we still work to provide it, right? Then the second question is, am I valuable? Well, notice in verse 26, 27, he says, listen, God takes note of the fowls of the air. He sees them. He takes note of all the things growing, all those. He said, listen, if God takes note of them, he takes note of you. You're much more important than they are. So don't ever think that God is not interested in you. He loves you. He wants the very best for you. The third question is, verse 28 through 30 explains it. Who is my real provider? Somebody said, look what I've accomplished. You know, there was a guy by the name of Nebuchadnezzar one time, walked out over, he owned the world. He conquered the world. He took over, he looked over his kingdom, he patted himself, said, look what I've accomplished. 7 years he spent on his hands and knees eating like a wild animal. He found out when he got his right mind back, he found out that he wasn't so great after all. There was somebody who really provided that and caused that to happen for him. What you need to understand, he says here in verses 28 through 30, he says, listen, he said, you don't need to take a thought for your raiment. You don't need to, all you have to do is look at the lilies of the field and those things. Knows how God provides for them, he provides for you too. You need to understand there's one that provides for you, and that's God. When you get a hold of that, it'll help you a lot. And it'll take away a lot of worry. We'll talk about worry here in a few moments. Also notice who's in control of your destiny. Verse 31 through 33. He said, listen, God knows you need to eat. He knows you need to drink. He knows you need to have raiment. He knows you need to have shelter. He said, listen, if you'll seek God and his righteousness, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other things he'll provide for you. In other words, he is in charge of your destiny. You said, I don't understand how God can make it happen. God can make it happen. Talk to missionaries. Ask them how God makes those things happen. He makes things happen. Now, somebody said, well, what am I responsible for? In verse 34, he answers that question. Not to take any thought for those things and worry about all those things, but your thought is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what you do. Now, let me say this. Somebody said, well, preacher, I'm too old to learn. You're never too old to learn. You said, look where I'm at in my life. So stop. Change it. You're never too old. Somebody said, old dogs never learn new tricks. So I've taught some old dog new tricks. I'm old. I learn new tricks all the time. My wife's got me jumping, playing dead, rolling over, whatever she wants me to do. She teaches me tricks all the time. Now, all this aside, look with me just a moment, if you would, in chapter 7. He says, you know, you have choice. First of all, look back in verse 24, the first one I read. He says that we have choices. And by the way, choices, he says, you have choices. You can have two masters. Or you can't have two masters. You got to choose one or the other. In other words, he gives you choices. Now get this, and you got to get this down. I want you to get this. God made you to have choices. You know why God gave you the ability to have choices? Let me say this. He wants you to choose to love him. He could make us love him. He could create us where we had no choice but to love him. He can bring things upon us where he forces us to do things. But can I say this? I don't want my children to love me because they fear me. I want them to love me because they love me. I don't want to try to make them love me. Did you ever try to make somebody love you? That love's no good. It ain't worth nothing. And God said, I give you choices because I want you to choose to love me. I want you to love me because you see how much I loved you. You love me because I first loved you. Now, And if you do that, then you have real love to me. And so God gives us choices. He says, now I want to give you some choices. He said, first of all, I want to give you a choice. Which master are you going to serve? God or mammon? You got a choice. You choose. You can choose either one you want to. Now, if you turn chapter 7, in verse 13, 14, he says also, he said, I want to give you a choice between two roads. He said, one road is a straight, narrow road. The other one's a wide, broad road. One has a wide gate. One has a narrow gate. One leads to destruction. One leads to life eternal. Many people's going to be on the one going to destruction. You're going to be on one that goes eternal. But listen, he not only tells us about the choice we have, he tells us about the end product of those roads. The crazy thing is, you can read that, and so many people read that, that's still going down the broad road and doesn't listen to what Jesus says. And they're headed right down to hell, and they're doing nothing about it, and Jesus tries to forewarn them that they have a choice. Please don't enter in this one, enter in this one. Because the end product is going to be this. Then he goes on, he talks about two trees. Talks about two trees having two fruits in chapter 7. And he shares, and he said, now these trees has two, he said, a good tree can't bring forth evil fruit. Evil tree can't bring forth good fruit. Then he goes on, he talks about two houses. He said, a wise man built his house upon the rock. A foolish man built his house upon sand. But he says, you have choices. You want to build on sand, you want to build on rock. Which one you want to put your house upon? Which one are you going to build your eternity on? So this morning I want you to know, before I get any further into it, that you have choices, and God gives you choices. Now, so what you have to do is, you're at crossroads many times. Now look back in your Bible a moment in chapter 6. Notice if you would, in verse number 33. But what? Seek. The word seek means to actively pursue something. In other words, to go after it. And it's a present tense. In other words, it means today, seek after it. Tomorrow, when you get to tomorrow, seek after it. Next day, seek after it. You can't seek after it until you get there. But every day of your life, you seek after that thing. Understand? You actively pursue what he's telling you to pursue. Now look back. Now, you say, how do I make the right choices? Well, Jesus made it pretty clear in verse 33. Notice again. But seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and what? And then what will happen? All these things shall be added to you. In other words, he says that you got to seek these things. You got to reject those things that keeps you from seeking those things. And you got to seek them. I want to ask you three questions this morning. And I want you to jot these questions down. Number one, the first question you have to answer for yourself is this. Is Jesus present in your life? Now, I said that to say this. You can't seek the kingdom of God until you seek the king. You got to have the king before you have the kingdom. Some people says, well, preacher, I want to go ahead and I want to do these things, so God will give me all these things I want. That's not what the scripture is all about. If you're going to seek first the kingdom of God, you got to seek first the king. Now, that means that you got to believe upon him, trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Somebody said, well, preacher, I've accepted Jesus. I've been saved. Can I say that's great? But God doesn't want you to stop there. After you accept Jesus, he wants you to continually seek Jesus. Every day, he wants you seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So, first of all, what you have to do is remember this. Before you can seek the kingdom, you got to seek the king. And the king is Jesus. Now, somebody asked one time, how much God do you have in your life? You have as much as you want. Did you get that? How much God do I have? You have as much as you want. Draw nigh to God, he will what? So he's as close to you as you want him to be. Somebody said, well, I wish Jesus was closer to me. Get closer to him. You can have as much of God as you want. The reason why you don't have it is because you don't want it. You say, oh, preacher, I want it. Well, if you want it, then draw nigh to him. You draw nigh to him, guess what? He'll draw nigh to you. Now, Look on. Then you have to not only you seek the king, but you seek his kingdom. Now, when you seek his kingdom, that means that you seek where he reigns and rules. That means he's right and you're wrong. You say, well, preacher, I don't see it that way. I know the Bible says it, but I don't see it that way. Let God be true and all men liars. What you have to understand is this. When you seek the king, then you got to seek his kingdom. And the kingdom means that you let the king rule. You're going to be a loyal subject unto him. When he tells you to do something, you're going to try to do it. When he says something, you do it because the king said so. You do it to honor the king, not you. So you got to seek. You say, well, preacher, I want to go through life and not worry. Stay with me. I'm fixing to give you a recipe. But you got to seek not only the king, but you got to seek his kingdom. You got to let him reign, his rule. Amen? Now, so you not only want a kingdom for yourself, you want kingdom for all those around you as well. But now look on. Also, you want guidance from the king. You not only want him to be over you and control over you, you want his character in you. That's where his righteousness comes in now. You seek God, you seek the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness. Righteousness means that you want what his character is, you want it to be your character. In other words, the things that he has set before you, you want to imitate in your life. Okay? Now, so first question you ask yourself is this. Is Jesus present? Can I say this? The Bible says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the natural man cannot discern the things of the Spirit. In other words, if you're not saved, you can never have your priorities right. You understand that? Your first priority has got to be Jesus. If you've never had Jesus come into your life and been saved, your priorities is all wrong. They'll never be right until Jesus is there. So first of all, do you have Jesus, his presence? Is he present in you? The second thing that you have to ask yourself, is Jesus prominent in me? By being prominent, what we mean is this. Does other people see Jesus in you? In other words, is it noticeable that Jesus is in you? In other words, is it obvious to other people that you have Jesus? You say, oh, preacher, listen, I like to tell people all the time. Can I give you a little hint? Jesus said over in chapter 7 in verse 21, says, in that day many shall say unto me, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in thy name? Do we not cast out devils? Do many wonderful works? He'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. What he's trying to teach us there is talk is cheap. I can say I'm a duck, but I'm not a duck. I can say I'm thin and trim, but I can talk that to the blood, till the birds come home, or cows come home. I eat cows. That's my problem. Don't get me off track. But my point being, I can say anything. People will not notice that Jesus is prominent in your life, but what you say. It's the light that you let shine. If they don't see a light, they see no Jesus. So the second thing is, do you have him prominent in your life? And so it's important that we understand that he needs to be prominent. Now, when we have him prominent, now listen to me, stay with me a minute, I want to help you. Notice what the Bible says in verse 33, go back there. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall what? Do you notice that word right before be added unto you? What is that word? You know what he's saying? I'm sovereign. I can do whatever I tell you I'm going to do. I can make it happen. You may not see how it can happen, but I can make it happen. Somebody said worry. Any of you ever worry? Get anxious? Somebody said worry is excessive concern over affairs in life. The key word, excessive. That means that's all you think about. You get excessive about it. You think about it. You worry about it. Now, someone else said that worry was interest paid on tomorrow's potential troubles. Do you understand? How many of you have ever worried about something never did come true? Can I tell you something about worry? Mark these things down real quickly before we go on. Number one, it's needless. There's a whole lot more important things in life than worry. Food, clothing, raiment. Concentrate on those things. Don't worry about worry. Next thing is senseless. Somebody said, you can't empty tomorrow's sorrow by today's worry. All you do is you empty yourself of today's strength. Because all it does is destroy today what may or may not happen tomorrow. Quit worrying about it. Useless. Do you ever think what worry accomplishes? Nothing. You know what else is worry? Faithlessness. In other words, you know what worry tells you? You're not trusting God. Now listen to me. I know you say, well, preacher, it's easy for you to say not to worry. I've been in a lot of positions. There's some times when I've let myself give over to worry. And can I tell you something about that worry? It didn't accomplish me one bit. It didn't help me. It didn't change the situation. It just made the situation worse. But there are times when I've had things happen in my life and I've found the secret of the first priorities. And what I did was God took away all worry. I didn't know what was going to happen, but I didn't worry. I didn't know how it was going to happen, but I didn't worry. I just trusted God. I simply just believed Him. Now, the third question I want to ask you, I ask you, number one, is Jesus present? Number two, if Jesus is present, then does people see Jesus in your life? Is He prominent in your life where people notices that He's there? The third thing I want to ask you before I close is this. Keep your finger there a moment. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 real quickly. Colossians chapter 1. Notice if you would in chapter 1. Notice if you would in verse number 18. Talking about Jesus. And says He is head of the what? The body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in what? All things He might have what? You know what preeminence means? First place. The third question I want to ask you is this. Is Jesus preeminent in your life? By that, I mean, does He have first place? First place in your time? First place in your tithe? Your treasure? First place in your talent? Did you ever notice what Jesus wanted? He wanted first place in your life, right? He wants the first of what you gain. Lay aside the first part. The tithe is the first part, not the leftovers. He wants the first part. Did you ever notice when He wanted His meat? On the first day of the week. Did you ever notice that everything that Jesus come and He asked us to do, it was always first? Seek ye first. Everything He wants us to do is first. You know why? He wants to have preeminence. So the third question I want to ask you is this. Does He have preeminence? Now, if He does, let me close by saying this. If He does, you can live a life and not lay and waller in bed. worrying. Any of you ever do that? Let's see your hand. Anybody ever worried? Can I tell you something? There's no greater feeling in the world than to have confidence that God is in charge. And to know that you're trying to be where He wants you to be, doing what He wants you to do, and having confidence that whatever needs to be done, He will take care of. That is the greatest feeling in the world. And that is the principle laid out here by Jesus of having first priority. You say, preacher, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God will make these things happen. I could sit here, and my wife could vouch. I could tell you 100 stories when we needed something that God allowed someone we didn't even know to provide it to us. Over and over and over and over. Many of them I've told you. I remember one time we bought our first house. Didn't have any money. Bought our first house. It wasn't even completed. Some guy, that's when bankruptcy went up high under the Carter administration. The interest rates went up 13, 14, 15%. This guy had to file bankruptcy. He had a bunch of houses going back. He called and he said, y'all want to buy one of my houses before it goes back? I'll sell it to you cheap. Says, it's not finished. We bought it. Didn't have nothing. Man, the house payments was so high, we didn't know what we was going to do. $206. We couldn't even fix a yard. One Saturday morning, somebody drove up, front end loader, started unloading it. We went out there. He said, somebody paid me, come fix your yard. Fix the yard. Guy called same day. I told Chris, I said, it's a shame we can't even buy grass seed. We were broke. She'll tell you, this guy called me. I hadn't talked to him for about a year or two. Asked me a question about something. His name's Gerald Garner. Y'all may know Gerald. I don't know whether you do or not. But Gerald called me. And he said, by the way, before he finished up hanging up, he said, I just want to ask you. Now, I hadn't talked to this guy for about 2 years. He said, I just want to ask you, you don't need any grass seed, do you? He said, I was just driving down the road just a minute ago. He said, all of a sudden, two bags, 100-pound bags, fell out right in front of my truck. He said, I stopped and had to pull off the road, keep from hitting it. He said, I put it in my truck, tried to catch a guy. I couldn't find him nowhere. He said, I'll bring it over and give it to you if you want any, if you need any. I said, you wouldn't believe this, Gerald. I said, somebody just fixed my yard. I couldn't even afford a grass seed. And he come and he brought me a bag of grass seed. I sold my grass. I told Chris, I said, it's a shame we don't even have money for straw. And she'll tell you the same thing. By the time I finished sowing my grass seed, she said, well, you're probably wasting your time because it's fixing rain. We don't get some straw on it. It's all healed. She said, it's going to wash right off. By the time before I finished up sowing my yard, this guy pulls up. Don't know him. He said, saw you sowing yard. You need some straw? I said, I'm sorry. I said, I don't even have any money. He said, no, I'm going to give it to you. I said, I don't want you paying for it. He said, I was working down here, and I saw you sowing your yard, and so I thought I'd bring it. And so we drove down. It's a dead-end street. It's five houses where we lived. We drove down there. Nobody had any straw in their yard. But he dumped all the straw off. I got through shaking it. And when I shook the last handful, I covered my whole yard. I told Chris, I said, you can't outgive God. And it may seem like simple little things, but it's amazing the principle of first priority. When you give it to God, He makes things happen. And it comes from the most unusual sources sometimes. But you've got to understand something. God's in control of the birds, the lilies, and He's in control of all of our lives. Trust Him. Don't worry.
believe in the principle. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The king, the kingdom, and then trust him. And then he will make sure all these other things come in your life. Now, does that mean there's things sometimes we wanted we didn't get? But we have more than we deserve. Be honest with you, anymore, if I buy something, I usually buy it because I think I can make some money on it. God's been better to me than I ever deserve. But my point is this. Trust God. Now, first of all, if you're here this morning, you can't set your priorities right in life. And can I say this? The reason why you need priorities in your life is very short. And eternity is very long. So you better have the right priorities in your life. If you don't have Jesus, you need to find Jesus this morning. But if you do, then you need to be seeking him and his kingdom and his righteousness. Would you do that this morning as we stand? Give a song of invitation, Brother Porter.
Page 325.
How about this morning? Maybe the Lord's dealing your heart about something. Would you come? Let him have his way. Maybe you need to step out and receive the King, as your Lord and your Savior. Some people said, well, I accepted Jesus 25 years ago. And I said, well, what have you done with him since then? Well, I've not done nothing. Well, you need to be seeking him every day after you accept him. Amen. How about it? Actively pursuing. Would you do that this morning?